The combination of a velociraptor and an HR manager somehow produced a pretty elegant bird with a mean left hook. The secretary bird struts across the African savanna with confidence that is definitely well-earned. Long-legged, laser-focused, and lightning-fast, this feathered fighter can shoot with the best of them. But sometimes, the best defense is simply being able to kick your problems away, like the secretary bird here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a bird that knows your schedule. But not really. Not actually. Don't worry. Not really.
A bird that
unless
you can
it watches you long enough.
Count on to get your dry cleaning done?
Not anymore, right? I don't think that happens anymore.
This isn't what is that movie with Christian Bale? American Hustle days?
Is that Coffee is for Closers?
No, that's Glenn Close. I forgot.
Okay.
It's Glenn Glenn something.
Ross.
Yeah, maybe that one. I don't know. I haven't seen it. It's the.
Neither have I. I haven't seen any of those. But today, we're talking about the secretary bird.
Yeah. It is a secretary. I don't know why they called it this.
I don't either.
Nothing about it says docile office life.
Uh-huh. I guess it's wearing a smart smart gray and black pantsuit, it looks like.
It is dressed to the nines. And smart is the right word. So the secretary bird, I guess, is a colorful name for it, but we're gonna call it here the kickin' chicken, the secretary of homeland snakeurity, and deep cut the proto evangelium.
I'm curious as to know why it's called why that's its name.
When we get to the.
All right.
The major fact, I'll loop it back.
It's also known as the secretary bird with no space, which I didn't know. Secretary bird. That's what it is.
It's like, German just translating it. It's like, why do we have two words? Why do we have two words for this? Just make one word. Secretary bird. Unschlagbar. I don't know, I just made that up. I don't know how to say bird or secretary in German.
Horrible.
What?
It could be something horrible.
Or it could be nonsense. Most likely nonsense.
Yeah.
Do
you want to know what science calls it?
Yeah, I do.
Well, it's in the kingdom you know and love and are in, the kingdom Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class is Aves. The order is Accipitriformes.
Birds of prey. Raptors.
Yeah. Right? Raptors, hawks, eagles, vultures. Not just raptor, right? Because like a vulture is not a raptor.
Is it not? Is a raptor a sub? Is a raptor a family?
Sariemas.
Or the order?
And then the family is Sagittariidae. The genus is Sagittarius. And the species Sagittarius serpentarius. It's a bird. It's a snake bird that was born in whatever month that is.
Okay, so we're going to test your knowledge of... I almost said horticulture, but that's not right. Horoscopes.
Okay.
What does Sagittarius mean? It's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you Joe a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Sagittarius Serpentarius? What does that mean? Does that mean A, Archer of Serpents? B, Stargazing Secretary? C, Long-legged snake messenger? Or D, snake-chasing scribe?
I know that the archer is one of them, one of the constellations, but I don't remember. Is Orion Sagittarius? But can you loose the bow of Orion? Nah, I don't think so. But I don't think Orion is represented in the other... what other... star sign would be Orion? It's not the crab one. It's not the bull. But Sagittarius is... Okay, I'm going with the archer. It's the only one I'm thinking about. It's the only one I remember. Final answer.
A, Archer of Serpents?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. Archer of Serpents. Sagittarius is the archer one. I cannot answer any of the things that you just were wondering about because I don't know. I know Orion is a constellation, and I'm not sure if it's the same one as Sagittarius or they blend or whatever. I don't think Orion is one of the horoscope ones.
No. Sagittarius and Orion are two distinct constellations.
Okay. There's two archers
in the sky.
Yeah, Orion is a
hunter. Sagittarius is a centaur.
Centaurs aren't real. So...
neither are horoscopes.
They're real, they're just...
wrong.
They just don't do anything. Yeah. They're as real as fortune cookies are real.
But if the moon can change the tides... why can't the constellations affect your birth, even though those aren't the constellations that were above you when you were born?
Yeah, because they change. The gravity from those stars have an effect on your personality. Mm-hmm. They must. You are outgoing? I don't know.
There are so many areas of science you'd have to make connections. Because you'd have to... go astrology or astronomy, you'd have to go astrophysics. Is the gravity of a constellation over technically all the constellations are over the earth
around it,
they're in every, yeah, they're all around it, but over in the sky while you were being born. Also while you're being born, depending on how your labor, really, you're being affected all year, all 9 months, really.
Doesn't it more depend on what time of the day you were born? The Earth might be facing away from... you may be born in whatever month Sagittarius is, but the Earth was facing away from it, and therefore you were looking at a different set of constellations because you were born in the middle of the day or whatever the opposite
is. Or the night. Yeah.
And it also depends on whether you were born in, New Zealand or Canada,
Well, I guess the argument would be if you're born in a certain time of year, the constellations shift throughout the 9 months of your development is the same. You have the Sagittarius continuum of months. The constellations were shifting, for the Sagittarius, all the Sagittarius is the same, even though they're changing throughout the 9 months, because the end point is when you got, it doesn't make any sense, but we can make sense of it. If I knew a guy that was half man, half horse, I would not like, I would not think of him primarily by his vocation, you know? He's an archer.
I would wonder where his heart is.
It's like, you mean emotionally speaking?
No, where, yes.
Where are his priorities?
Where dost thou heart lie? Does it lie with the, with the horses, or does it lie with the people? No, where's the thing that pumps your blood? Is it in your man chest, or is it in your horse chest?
It would have to be in your horse chest. You'd have to have a horse-sized heart.
So then what's going on in your man chest?
Just lungs.
But like, is that where your stomach is?
I guess you'd have to have horse lungs too. I think the man chest is
just a facade. It's just a bunch of like
brain
fat.
Your torso's full of brain.
Your torso is so smart. They're so smart because they're just a brain with muscly arms. I guess you have to have muscles to, you know, pull the.
Or you have really long lungs that go from the horse body to the man body.
So then you can hold your breath for a really long time.
You can run in the fields and not grow weary. Soar on wings of secretary birds.
They did not think that through when they thought of a centaur. Where are this thing's organs?
They probably thought of a centaur before they even ever dissected a person.
Or it's actually just completely split apart. And you have to take down, if you kill the person, the man chest, then you have just a horse running around with a floppy, you know, like man hanging off the top of it. Or if you kill the horse part, then that's just.
There are certain animals that are.
Like an octopus has like three hearts.
Redundant. Yeah.
So, yeah. Why not? Why not the centaur? All right. How big is this centaur? This archer of serpents.
Well, let me tell you about its description. The secretary bird is tall. It's a striking bird of prey.
Literally.
That looks like a cross between an eagle and a crane. It has long legs, a slender neck, and a small hooked beak. Its body is covered in pale gray feathers with black wing and tail feathers with a distinctive crest of long black feathers that sticks out from the back of its head like a quill pen. It's got like a pink eye mask as well. Around the black eyes, there's like a pink, you know, like a vulture bear skin kind of thing going. And then it's got some yellow at the base of the beak. And it has a impressive wingspan. So that it aims to impress on the sky, in land and sky. But how big is its wingspan? Welcome to the beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions. In relatable terms, through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We do not have... No, we do have a new measure up intro this week.
I thought we did.
Without further ado, the listener's part of the show.
This episode is nothing a good car accident can't fix.
That is from Julia, Calvin, and Laura, longtime listeners. And
love it.
Joy said that we didn't have to use that end part. But if you recall, the end part is when we were talking about The Great Gatsby. Because the plot is... solved by the car accident at the end.
Yeah, I guess no spoilers. Everybody wants something, enough. And then the car accident takes it away.
Yes, huh? Spoilers. She says Calvin had to read The Pearl. Oh, because we were also talking about Steinbeck novels.
Yeah, we mentioned this last episode. The Pearl.
Okay.
And Calvin's attempt to dupe everyone into thinking he had read it by it saying that everyone lived happily ever after.
That's right. But not so with Steinbeck.
I think at the end of that episode, we were like, the Stranger Things cast. There's so many characters, that they refuse to kill off in this, you know, horror, this horror show where, you know, main characters die. That's kind of what they do. They said like, yeah, there's the cast is nothing a car accident can't fix.
Yeah, not the actors. How crazy the would it be? How crazy would it be if in this horror
they show, died in a car accident?
Just a car accident.
You should play more Resident Evil because just dying in a vehicle accident when there are zombies and like mutants everywhere is actually pretty common.
I prefer to play Resident Good. Let's talk about their height. They stand. They stand 4 to 5 feet tall, or 1.2 to 1.5 meters. Their wingspan is 6.2 to 6.9 feet.
That is big.
1.9 to 2.1 meters. But we're going with their 5 feet upper end of height average. A blue wildebeest, also known as the white-bearded wildebeest, is the largest antelope species native to eastern and southern Africa. True or false, a blue wildebeest calf stands about one secretary bird tall at the shoulder.
5 feet?
At the withers.
Like, yeah, that's a newborn calf that I'd be able to, like, ride. Not easily, but that's like a big pony. I'm going to say no. It's too big. The answer is false.
It might just be an adult is 5 feet tall.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because, like, a horse is, like, 6 feet tall. At the withers, like a
we'll give you the point for that one because it's not true. The calves are smaller.
They must be, right?
They must be.
I don't know how you birth something that's exactly the same size as you.
Let's talk about their weight. They're 5 to 10 pounds, or 2.3 to 4.8 kilograms. A butternut squash is a type of winter squash known for its bell shape, tan skin, and sweet nutty orange flavor.
I love it.
What's a nutty?
What is orange?
Nutty orange flesh, flavor.
It doesn't taste like an orange.
It's sweet, nutty, orange flesh.
Okay.
It doesn't taste like nuts and oranges. True or false, an average large butternut squash is about the weight of a secretary bird.
4.8 kilograms. I forgot how many pounds you said that is, but that must be something like...
10.
10, yeah. A large butternut squash being 10 pounds. I mean, I guess... I mean, what, those gourds can get super big, right? I'll say if true. Maybe. Like, there's a big one. It's probably 10
Final
pounds.
Final answer?
Yes.
The answer is false. A butternut squash is 2 to 3 pounds on average. Though your thinking was correct, the largest ever was 130 pounds.
Yeah.
There's probably some 10 pounders in there.
I'm sure.
But the average large butternut squash is probably like 3 pounds, 4 pounds, something like that.
We've been making butternut squash fries a lot, which are really good.
Are you ready for some fast facts before we get into the major fact?
Yeah.
Although it is a bird of prey, it behaves more like a terrestrial hunter than an eagle or a hawk. They spend most of their time on the ground, walking around on their exceptionally long legs. Those legs let it see over tall grass, and it could cover up to 19 miles, 30 kilometers on foot in a single day. Imagine walking 19. I don't have wings at all. And my legs are longer. And I don't walk 19 miles a day.
You could, though.
Close.
You would be unhappy about it, but you would. You
could. That would be a lot. That would be a lot.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever walked that long in a day.
We tried to hike for several days, and 5 days was going to be the average, and then we did one, and it was, we had to do one 10-mile day planned, and the 5-mile days were, like, insane. That's because we had a lot of elevation change.
And weight. These guys weigh 10 pounds. With our pack and us, we weighed a lot more.
That's true. Even though Secretary Birds spend the majority of the day on the ground, they are strong flyers. They soar on thermals or convection columns, much like eagles and vultures. Although they need a running start to become airborne, but so do most birds of a certain size. They eat mostly live prey, rodents, lizards, birds, and their eggs, large insects, rabbits, hares, amphibians, rabbits, and other hares. They're thorough when it comes to hares. So why are they called secretary? We don't know, but there are some theories. One theory is that the black crest feathers resemble quill pens tucked behind the ears of the 19th century secretaries.
Okay, I like it.
Another suggestion is that it comes from the Arabic phrase sakr et tayir, meaning hunter bird, which may have been altered over time.
Okay. That's kind of like it's just hearing sakr et tayir and it's like that says secretary.
Like, is it secretary bird? Got it.
You know,
how do you know the word secretary? You didn't say anything else in English.
You know the that joke in Toy Story 2 where Al says "Don't touch my mustache" when he's talking to a Japanese person?
Yes.
that's that joke.
What is this Japanese phrase?
Doi toshimashite. Don't touch my mustache.
Don't touch my mustache.
which is just you're welcome.
That's funny.
So someone tells you thank you and you say don't touch my mustache and you leave. You've shown a great dishonor to your family.
If you said don't touch my mustache to a Japanese person, would they have any idea you were trying to say thank you?
No.
Do they know about Toy Story?
And they would also be like, the entire Japanese culture would be like, I was so far from touching your mustache. It was a list of things that I would ever do in my life. It was just way down there at the bottom.
Even if you just like, don't touch my mustache, would you think they would? He's trying to say this, but it sounds terrible. Anyway, pairs often stay together for years and defend large territories. During courtship, they'll perform aerial displays of mutual calling before breeding. The secretary bird appears on the coat of arms of South Africa, where it is outstretched. It has its outstretched wings symbolize protection and growth. And that's all I've got. Do you have any big facts?
I do. This fact is called Stop Hammer Toe. Parentheses. Can you take me higher?
Yes. Yes.
Can you take me higher?
Yeah.
So there's two songs there. Both from the 90s. I think Higher was from the 90s. Maybe early 2000s. I can't remember. So the secretary bird is one of those few animals, specifically warm-blooded animals, that is good at killing snakes, venomous snakes. And while other animals like the mongoose or like the badger are just, they have like either an anti-venom in their blood or they just have really thick hides, the secretary bird takes the Chuck Norris route by delivering an incredibly fast downward kick with its long, powerful legs. A single strike can generate enough force to stun or kill prey almost instantly, with the kick occurring in milliseconds. And since it has these really long legs, it lets it keep its body outside of striking range, and while the venomous snake tries to bite, it can just, you know, kick down and hit and hit it in the face. Which is why I call it the Proto-Evangelion. The Proto-Evangelion is the promise made to Adam at the end of the curse in Genesis 3. It says the heel of the woman's offspring shall crush the head of the serpent.
In other words, the primordial gospel, Proto-Evangelium.
That's what that would mean. Yeah. So this is a perfect example of something's heel crushing the head of a snake. The primary weapon against the snake here is a foot. So like other raptors, they primarily rely on the like the grip strength of their and the sharp points of their talons to immobilize and damage their prey. Secretary Bird just uses its feet like sledgehammers to just bop victims on the head like little bunny foo-foo. It often stomps repeatedly to make sure that the prey is good and dead, or at least incapacitated, before swallowing it whole or tearing it apart. If I managed to hit a snake, a venomous snake, I would double tap. I'd have to, like, you know, mm-hmm. what if I just stunned it. So this allows it to hunt the highly venomous species of snakes that live in Africa, like cobras and puff adders. And there's surprisingly little risk to the bird, just because it's a range issue. Like when you're boxing, if your opponent has longer arms than you, you have a rough fight up ahead, because if they can hit you without you being able to hit them, it's heavily swayed against you. The secretary bird also has thick scales on its legs, which provides an extra layer of protection against bites. And it has very good eyesight, so it can spot the movement in the tall grass, and then kind of close in for the attack and start pouncing down. If you are imagining like a Kung Fu Panda style, like perfectly executed roundhouse kick to the face, that's not how nature works. It's when you watch it, it's a lot more just kind of like this
stomp.
Yeah, like a really, really aggressive stomping. But it's not, the point is not to pin its head to the ground. The point is to deliver like blunt force trauma midair, and then to follow it up. And it's the secretary bird is also used to control snake populations. It's just that good of I guess we'll call it a snaker, like a. Mm-hmm. If you get a cat, a farm cat is a mouser. You call this one a snaker, and yeah, I mean snakes in Africa are super some of the worst, some of the most dangerous in the world. So I would want a secretary bird hanging out near my house if I lived in southern Africa. So, but yeah, it looks it's less like a smooth, well executed martial art, and more like a stomping tantrum. All right, that was the secretary bird. Man, there was a lot. Like let's call it something that has to do with its kicking ability. I mean, archer, like snake archer is pretty good. Serpent archer doesn't roll off a tongue very well. Like the idea of like drawing your foot back as a bow and just releasing it into a snake's face. But yeah. That was the Secretary Bird for you out there in Podcastia. Wind up your danger dogs. Make sure you stretch and deliver a roundhouse kick to the face of the harbinger of evil, like the Secretary Bird here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
Harbinger of evil.
Or sin, I guess. Just
poor snakes.
Roundhouse kick to the face of sin.